Bhagavan Vishnu Deshpati, अस्माकम्
इदं महात्मनास्माकम्
भगवान् विश्वस्य कृतपति
भगवान् विश्वस्य कृतपति
दुर्गादीनाम् आत्मजानाम्
दुर्गादीनाम् आत्मजानाम्
शिक्षो संशिक्षताम्
शिक्षो संशिक्षताम् इदं आह पुरास्माकम्
इदं आह पुरास्माकम्
भगवान् विश्वस्य कृतपति
भगवान् विश्वस्य कृतपति
दुर्गादीनाम् आत्मजानाम्
दुर्गादीनाम् आत्मजानाम्
शिक्षो संशिक्षताम्
शिक्षो संशिक्षताम्
इदं आह पुरास्माकम्
इदं आह पुरास्माकम्
भगवान्
विश्वस्य कृतपति दुर्गादीनाम् आत्मजानाम् शिक्षो संशिक्षताम्
इदं आह पुरास्माकम्
भगवान् विश्वस्य कृतपति
दुर्गादीनाम् आत्मजानाम्
शिक्षो संशिक्षताम्
Dham.
Dham.
This. Aha.
Aha.
Said.
Pura.
Pura. Formerly.
Formerly.
Asmakam.
Asmakam.
Unto us.
Unto us.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
The Lord.
The Lord.
Vishwasre.
Vishwasre.
Creators of the universe.
Creators of the universe.
Pati.
Pati.
Master.
Master.
Brigadinam.
Brigadinam.
The great sage is headed by Brigu.
All the great sage is headed by Brigu.
Atmajana.
Atmajana.
His sons.
All the sons.
Shikshu,
Shikshu,
desirous of creating,
Samsakshatam,
who are in charge of creation.
Who are in charge of creation.
Translation of spirit was spoken to us by Lord Brahma, the master of all creators. The creators, headed by Brigha, were instructed in these prayers because they wanted to create. Therefore, Lord Brahma was created by Lord Vishnu. Then Lord Brahma created Lord Shiva and other great sages, headed by Bhrigu Muni. These great sages included Bhrigu, Marichi, Atreya, Vasishtha, and others. All these great sages were in charge of creating population. Since there were not very many living entities in the beginning, Vishnu entrusted Brahma with the business of creation, and Brahma in his turn created many hundreds of thousands of demigods and great sages to continue with creation. At the same time, Lord Brahma cautioned all the sons and disciples by reciting a prayer, now recited by Lord Shiva. The material creation means material engagement, but material engagements can be counteracted if we always remember our relationship with the Lord, as that relationship is described in these prayers recited by Lord Shiva. In this way, we can remain constantly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, despite our engagement in the creation, we cannot be deviated from the path of Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for this purpose. In this material world, everyone is engaged in some particular occupation or duty, which is prescribed in Vana Ashram Dharma. In Brahma's chapters, Vaishya Sutras, and everyone are engaged in their occupation or duty. But if one remembers his first duty, keeping in constant contact with the Supreme Personality of God, everything will be successful. If one simply executes the rules and regulations of the Varnashram Dharma in the role of a Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, and keeps busy and does not remember one's eternal relationship with the Lord, one's business and activities as well as occupational duties will simply be a waste of time. This is confirmed in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma, Sunishita, Pumasam, Vishnu Singh, Katha, Suvya, Mapadaya, Yeti, Vatim, Shrama, Eva, Kevam. The conclusion is that even if one is busy executing his occupational duties, business is Krishna, in Krishna consciousness need not be hampered. He has simply to execute devotional services, shravanam, kirtanam, hearing, chanting, and remembering. One need not abandon his occupational duty. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, by worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and who is all pervading, man can, in the performance of his own duty, attain perfection. Thus, one can continue with his occupational duties, but if he worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Lord Shiva here prescribes, he attains his perfection of life. Smanushita Siddharma says Samsadir, Adikoshanam. We should continue executing our occupational duties, but if we try to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by our duties, then our lives will be perfected. Translation: the Spirit was first spoken to us by the Lord and Brahma, the master of all creators. The creators, headed by Bhrigu, were instructed these prayers because they wanted to create. So Shiva here is explaining the history of these prayers. And here he states that Brahma spoke the prayers to his sons, his offspring, the Prajapatis and Lord Shiva. And why he did this is because
it's mentioned here that these persons were desiring to create samsashikshatam.
That means they were desirous of creating progeny in the material world. So that is a material activity. And therefore, along with that material activity, they have to also keep the remembrance of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, these prayers are recited so that they would not forget the position of the Lord in spite of doing their material activities. So material activities are of two sorts. One type of material activity is without regulation or without scriptural injunctions. So that is considered to be a dharma. One simply lives without following the rules and regulations. And when we follow the rules and regulations of the scriptures, then we start dharma and varna ashram system. In both cases, the main import is to support the material body. So that's why we have varnas. So you can get an occupation with certain rules to support your material body by work. However, the value of this system is that it is arranged in such a way according to gunas. And the idea is to purify you and raise you in the gunas up until sattva guna, in a brahminical position. We do have other societies that have occupational duties, etc., but they don't concern themselves with the gunas or raising people up or purification at all. So the varnashram system is arranged in such a way that particular rules are given for particular varnas, and if they follow those rules properly, then they advance and they get purified gradually, birth after birth, and they rise from tamoguna to rajaguna to sattva eventually. In a normal society that has occupations and rules, but not the scriptural rules, then they don't really advance. They simply live, that's all. So the varnashram system is such that it actually raises you in the gunas. Simultaneously, along with raising one in the gunas, there is a reflection of bhakti there. There is a small portion of bhakti, which will consist of recognition of Vishnu or Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Even though they may worship other devatas or whatever, still they recognize Vishnu as Supreme. And though their goal is generally artha, dharma, and kama, implicit in the varnashram system is also the final goal, which is moksha. So when one gets to sattva guna, then one was qualified for moksha or liberation. So in that sense, we say there's a spiritual reflection there. Of course, moksha itself is not bhakti. So worship of the Lord must also be there. So as I said, it can be in the form of an abbas or a shadow form where they recognize Vishnu, but they go on with their other worship as well. If one gets to a more purified position, one starts Nishkama Karma Yoga, and then one can begin to offer all one's activities in the Varna Ashram to the Supreme Lord. So that's a higher position, Karmarpanat. One offers all one's duties. And this, of course, is expressed in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you austerity you perform, whatever yoga you perform, you do it for me. So that is a type of activity one can do in the Varnashram system also. Still, that is not the most perfect form of bhakti. So the perfect form of bhakti is hearing, chanting, remembering, not offering the duties to
to the Lord. Of course, we cannot say it's not bhakti, but it is more indirect. So the direct processes, which are much more powerful, are hearing the name of the Lord, or the topics of the Lord, chanting the names of the Lord, etc. These are much more powerful. So that's a higher position. So one can, of course, simultaneously do varnashram and do bhakti as well, as the great kings did. So that is exactly what Shiva is suggesting here to the Prachetas, that they should engage in their dharma as kshatriyas and at the same time perform bhakti by reciting these prayers to the Supreme Lord. Now, of course, they can do this bhakti a little bit, or they can do it more, they can do it predominantly, whatever, that's up to them how much they want to do it. But if one practices these angas of bhakti along with the varnashram system, this is better than simply doing the varnashram system with recognition of the Lord or with offering one's activities to the Lord. When one actually partakes of bhakti, that is a higher principle. So once one takes to the direct bhakti process, one is not obligated to follow the varnashram system. One incurs no sin by not following those rules. And if one follows the varnashram system but doesn't worship the Lord, then that also is useless endeavor. So there's a dependence of the varnashram system upon bhakti. And at the same time, bhakti is not dependent upon varnashram system or jnana or yoga or anything else. So it's in a much superior position. However, as long as we're in the material world, we do have to support our body. So, generally, we follow those rules of varnashram system as much as possible to support our body, as long as well as doing our bhakti. Where it becomes inconvenient, of course, and there's no obligation to follow those rules, and we can give up those rules and simply do bhakti. So it is better to follow varnashramic rules to support the body than non-varnashramic rules, because that can lead to sinful activity, which is not favorable for bhakti. So that is the position of bhakti in relation to varnashram and other processes. The emphasis is on the bhakti, and other things can be there which are favorable for the bhakti. If not favorable, then they can also be given up without any harm or any criticism. So this actually glorifies the position of bhakti in comparison to the other processes. It is independent and not dependent on anything else. Other processes are dependent on bhakti. So here Shiva is indicating this by saying to his sons or his offspring, Prajapatis and Lord Shiva and others, that they must always recite these prayers and remember these prayers. This is a form of bhakti. Now, of course, how much they do it is another thing. So some of these prajapatis we see are more involved in karma yoga. Pulasti and Atri and all these persons are more involved in karma yoga. Nevertheless, they're told, instructed, that they must also do bhakti in the form of reciting these prayers. So this is the saving grace of karma yoga. There's some bhakti there also.
Maharaj, how the Vrastas and outside devotees were working outside to manage when there is so much of wrong association or unwanted association outside? And,
all they can do is not associate closely, that's all. Obviously, one has to associate with the material world to some degree, but not establish close relationships with those people. If one develops friendly relations and very close, intimate relations with sinful people, then one will tend to pick up their habits.
Certain jobs are more sinful than other jobs.
Hmm. So therefore one has to avoid the sinful jobs. What's that?
Somebody is writing a code.
Writing?
Of an engineer.
That we cannot help. We cannot help that.
And where it is going to be used?
Yeah, we don't know. We can't help that. Just like the farmer grows crops and sells to the people, and the sinful person eats the corn, and what's that? Is he responsible? No, not really.
But in the next code, you can just keep up thinking of Krishna and the person will be very comfortable.
Whatever. But like the farmer, he grows his crops and sells his crops, but he's not responsible after that point.
Princess.